Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast. Hope you enjoy it. It's brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for something unique, Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Check them out at Lakewood Chev. What'd you make of the decision to go back to Nurse and Greiba rather than potentially back to Klefbom? Larson had just been on the ice, so he couldn't come on. And Klefbom missed a shift for some reason in overtime.
Yeah, so I didn't hear all the details of the last segment, but you're running through the order in which the D were deployed to start overtime. And it was a Greiba and Nurse had two shifts in the first 3 minutes of overtime? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they were on for 8 seconds. They basically had just come back on. Right, and then they got scored on. What's interesting is Klefbom started the overtime with Larson, right? Then Larson left the ice a little bit before him, so then Russell came on with Sekera, right? Then they went to Nurse and Greiba. Then they went back to Russell and Sekera, right? Oh, sorry, and then Russell came off, then Larson went on. And I think because Larson, here's what happened. Larson and Sekera got stuck out for a long shift. Sekera was out there for almost 2 minutes. Right, so when he came off and Larson had already been on, they went back to the third pairing because of just keeping with continuity because of that long shift had basically interacted the first and second pair. So I guess I just answered my question.
And you know, sometimes when Todd McClellan talks about shifts being too long, we assume he's talking about the forward units, but that can be relevant for the defensemen as well. And if defensemen, whether they get caught out there or whether they just decide not to change at the right time, it can really throw. I mean, you're working with three pairs of two, and you can really throw the flow off if you stay out for too long. So maybe there's something there. But, I was a little bit surprised, given the night they'd had, that we saw Greiba and Nurse as early in overtime as we had. We're going to have to play them. I mean, you can't just shut it down to two D pairs when you never know how long overtime is going to go. So I don't blame them from that front. But Greiba had a tough night, like no question about it. We broke down that goal a little bit further today, and what ended up happening was that Pouliot broke his stick. So the puck goes into the linesman's skates, or the ref's, and then the stick actually shot up along the boards. Nurse pinched up, he saw the stick. It had black tape on the end of it, and he saw the stick. He actually moved up to play the stick. And the puck had gotten caught up in the linesman. So Nurse was a little bit out of position because he bit on the stick, thinking it was where the puck should have been. And Greiba, for some reason, was coming across. And it was just so unnecessary to come across and track Patrick Marleau and left Carlson wide open. It was just a really bad error by Greiba on that goal. And that pairing had already been exposed earlier in the game for some tough coverage. And then today, I mean, I don't know if you noticed at practice, but today – Todd McClellan basically had a two-on-two drill where you have two forwards down below the goal line beside the net, two defensemen standing in front and running through scenarios on how to play them. And he called Greiba and Nurse over and had them stand there while he explained the drill and pointed out the mistakes and then ran them through the drill first and then had everybody else do it. So he wasn't picking on anybody, but he was definitely pointing it out. Those two got exposed twice in one game.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan, one thing I saw, it seemed to me the Oilers didn't play a hard game with the puck. They were good on the body midway through the period and on when they got rolling, but they were a little too cute at times, little dump passes, little chip passes. Snap it tape to tape and get some speed going because they seemed like they were trying to create speed at times and they created the opposite, a turnover.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were a couple of different segments to that game. And in the early going, there was a stretch of just under 2 minutes. I went back and watched it this morning because I made a couple of notes last night during the game. And so I went and checked it today. There was a stretch of just under 2 minutes where they turned the puck over six times, basically tape to tape, like just egregious turnovers. And we're not talking just anybody. They went the McDavid line, then the Lucic line, then the McDavid line again to try and kind of get them some ice time and get them going. And that's when the six turnovers happened. Maroon had two, McDavid had one, Lucic had one, Nurse had one, Draisaitl had one. They were bad. So to me, there was a lot of nerves in their hands in the early going of that game. And it took that really nice shift from Cassian and Kajula to to kind of solidify things for them and get them to have a little bit of momentum, and they turned that into a 2-0 lead. And then they were just dominated the rest of the night. I mean, 9 shots through 2 periods plus overtime is being dominated. I don't care what anybody says. That's being dominated. Connor McDavid said after the game, they had the puck all night. So they weren't hard enough with the puck because they never had the puck all bloody night.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, hey, McDavid said it, and you could watch it. Like, rarely, you didn't notice McDavid last night very much because he didn't have the puck. When he had it, of course, he's recognizable, and that starts in their own zone too often. You know, even when they did have possession, they were missing passes. You know, Maroon, I think, missed 3 in a row. You and Dregs and I were talking about, like, man, right now, and who knows if it's jitters or what have you, or just trying to, you know, rush things too quickly. You're like, I got to get the puck to McDavid. I got to get the puck to McDavid. Yeah. And that hasn't happened all year, and so it gets magnified more. But I think that's going to be the key. It starts in their own end. Their defense needs to be better. But their forward group, when they have possession, they can't just give it away. Like, unforced errors, unforced turnovers, like tennis, I counted 11 in the first period.
Yeah, there were tons and tons. Just on the subject of McDavid, though, we've talked about this with McDavid since his first games last year. And one of the things I noticed just in his first couple of games, even in the league, is that he didn't seem to command the puck. So when his defensemen were regrouping and going D to D, he didn't swing down low with a stick on the ice with this body language like, give me the damn puck. He didn't do that very often. Then as his confidence grew and when he came back from the injury, he was commanding the puck. And Todd McClellan even talked about this, where he just almost dared the defenseman to look him off. Like, he would swing down lower with his stick there, give me the puck. Through most of this season, he has been really consistent in wanting the puck and commanding the puck at all times when he's out there, and so he should. Last night, he wasn't doing that. He was way up in the neutral zone or even at the offensive blue line. Not saying he was cherry-picking. He was content to kind of stand there with the defenseman. Or with the center, if the center were hanging back. They kind of zoned him off a little bit, and he didn't really do a lot of swinging deep in his own end to try and regroup and command that puck. He seemed okay to be up there kind of getting checked. There just seemed to be a lack of aggressiveness in McDavid commanding it in that game last night, and I wonder if that'll change for game two.
Yeah, it's interesting. Going into game two, Ryan, you don't want to make too much of it. You correct what went wrong, probably see a lineup change or two. You can't abandon everything you came into the series with. They got dominated, like you said. There's no other word for it. If you're saying something to this group of players as Todd McClellan, what do you think is the one nugget that's important to take to the next game? Because the first one's done. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I don't think that they're at a point where there's one overriding thing that gets said. I think McClellan has this group playing well enough that the fix is in the subtle tweaks, and there were a number of them. So to me, it's more about encouraging them to just get back to the game that they finished the season with, because it's right there for them. They've been playing it consistently. So just harness that. And then the subtle tweaks are the line changes being a little bit tighter, a little bit quicker, not getting caught out there. We saw them run through the play below the goal line and just the importance of checking well in and around their net. So they went through that. And they basically went through that stuff today. I think it's about the finer details. I think in the big picture, they're fine because their game has been really good lately. So what needs to be tweaked to not allow San Jose to have the momentum for such long periods of time? And I think Todd did that today with his practice.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Eric Greiba, tough night all around. Do you expect to see Benning tomorrow?
Yeah, so what I saw today at practice, with Larson not on the ice, you had Greiba subbing in with Klefbom, and you had Benning playing with Darnell Nurse in some of the main drills they did where they had the pairings going. So that was a tell to me that change will be made. I think it should be made. I think Greiba had a tough enough night. I don't know how many times he just sort of randomly iced the puck, but it was a bunch too many. And so I exposed on 2 goals, including the overtime winner, tough night handling the puck. Todd McClellan had said a few weeks ago he's one of their best defensemen at breaking the puck out from below the goal line. That was not the case last night. Now, McClellan has a tendency to...
Let guys go back, yep.
Yeah, when we foresee guys getting pulled because they've been brutal, a la Slepyshev a few weeks ago, McClellan has a tendency to go back to them, thinking he'll get a good bounce-back performance from them. Now, we could see that. I mean, a little bit of fill-in work on the extra pairing and the sense that he might be coming out only to find out he's still in, maybe that elicits something from Gaiba. But my sense of it today was that they're going to want to get Benning into some games, and no better chance after that performance from Gaiba. The third pairing, guys, man, I said it coming into the series, the third pairing will be the one to watch because it's the soft underbelly of this team, and nothing against Darnell Nurse. He's such a young player, but here we are after game one. They were exposed multiple times in a one-goal game.
Generating more of the attack, we've touched on it all over, Ryan, but I don't recall 40 minutes consecutively that the Oilers have been dominated like they were last night. You talk about tweaks, and that makes a lot of sense. Do you also have to go into it with a clear head if you're this group of players? Because they were passengers. They were observers for a lot of those 40 minutes.
Yeah, I think a little bit. I think they need to maybe – I think Jason made a really good point. It's obvious, but I think it's really important, is to simplify it a little bit. There's nothing wrong with dumping the puck in and going and getting it. I mean, they are a very good team at puck retrievals with the size and the speed they have on the wings. Mm-hmm. And so trying to pass it across the blue line all the time or force the puck to McDavid, it just created a scenario where they were – first of all, they weren't winning faceoffs, so there goes some possession time. They're turning pucks over when they did get it. There goes more possession time. They're forcing plays at the offensive blue line. There goes quality scoring opportunities. It's one thing after another that bleeds off possession time. And by the time the night's over, you got your star player going, I felt like we didn't have the puck at all tonight. All those little things contributed to this sense that the San Jose Sharks completely controlled play all night long. I think maybe dummying it down a little bit, chipping pucks in and chasing pucks, being physical on those defensemen. They've got wingers that can play that way. I think that maybe is the message that Todd McClellan sends to them before game two, is to simplify and just not get too cute. We haven't talked at all about Draisaitl, guys, and I it's a big step back for Draisaitl in my eyes. He was so good to finish the year, but, man, he had a hard time in the second and third period with that puck, making good plays. Took a lot of risky passes, stuff that we saw early in his NHL career worked its way back into his game. So that was, to me, he, of all their important players, he was the most important player that had the poorest performance.
Yeah, I won't argue with that. The little sauce backhand pass too often was turned over, so he will need to be better,
sure.
No doubt. Milan Lucic, of course, 2 points. They'd be excited about him. He took a penalty, though, that he can't take. And that's
yeah, I didn't
like
think
the orders.
He was great in a 2-point performance. Did you guys? I thought he was okay in a 2-point performance, but that wasn't. He was just okay the rest of the way to me, turning it over in his own end a bunch of times.
Yeah, well, the whole team after the first period, outside of Cam Talbot in the final 43 minutes, I don't know if I could find a player that I would say, wow, he was really impactful.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, and that's. I don't know if that's concerning for the Oilers or if that's making them feel okay. Because, no, it's not like they got great games from a bunch of guys and still lost the game. Everybody can be better than they were in that game. I think San Jose had a lot to do with it, but I think the Oilers can control some of that.
Schonger, should be a fun one tomorrow. And any sense, no Joe Thornton tomorrow?
Well, I don't know why they would play him. They got a 1-0 lead in the series here. Thornton looked good today. Said he felt better than he felt yesterday, that he'll wait and see. If I'm the Sharks and you got a 1-0 lead on the road in the series, you're playing with house money a little bit, let Joe rest. And I think that's probably what they'll do.
Schonger, we'll see you at the rink tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay. Great to talk to you, Robin. Take care, guys.
Ryan Schonger from TSN.